Maybe I'm easily entertained or have low standards, but I got to say the title of last week's podcast we went with was Peeking Ahead, I believe. And there will not have to be any peeking ahead this week because we have some big games for once. There's been a lack of parity the last few weeks in league play, but Basic Foothill and the battle for Boulder Highway kicking us off Thursday. Then Gorman and Bosco on Friday for a big game with national relevance, not to mention Legacy and Palo Verde for a number two seed. Going to talk about all those today.
What about Shap going for the league title, baby?
And Shap for I knew there was one I was forgetting for the number one. I still don't think maybe that deserves to be quite in the I think that I'm pretty sure which way we're both going with our picks in that one. I think the other two are more toss-ups. But we'll get to all of those games, all four of those games. Sorry for leaving the first one out on Prep Sports Now, presented by Wingstop, the Wing Experts, open at six Vegas locations until midnight, and also the Nevada Department of Public Safety, which reminds you, buckle up, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive. Let's always make it safely to our next destination.
Totally unscripted. I know it's not on our plans. Could I give you a quick story?
Yeah.
I was on campus UNLV yesterday. I mean, last week, Thursday. And I was walking back to my car in the free parking over by the track. And there's a bunch of people, class had just got off, and their cars waiting to go, or like waiting to turn right to go over there to Harmon, like by the 215. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them's on their cell phone, texting on Facebook, whatever it is.
Including you?
No, I was walking back to my car.
Oh, gosh.
But what I'm saying, it's like, boy, the Department of Public Safety has their hands full.
We need to get some of those slap bracelets on the UNLV campus.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying that
it's
the DNA right now of people in that demographic.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to fight against that on Prep Sports Now. Let's get to all the games safely. All four of these games we mentioned at the top, where do you want to start, Brewer? What stands out to you?
I mean, to me, I guess I love Foothill Basic. It's one of the great, I think, rivalry games just because the way the school system is with its zone boundaries over in Older Henderson, a lot of these kids have gone to school together before. For instance, you know, my kid's going to go to Newton Elementary where kids go to Foothill and Basic out of there. And then they play on the same, like, youth teams against each other. So that game, just because of the significance, and last year I thought when that kid waved to the bleachers when he was running for the touchdown, was a cool moment.
Who was that? Is he back?
And he's not back, okay. And I can't remember his name. So, but I think both teams have seniors who have played on varsity for a while. Both teams are really good. This is a huge game because you could argue the winner's kind of in the – I don't want to use this word, but is the winner in the driver's seat to win the league?
You have to say they're in control.
In control, and then – avoiding Liberty until the championship game, which this year is also the state semifinals, so you'd get to play on Thanksgiving weekend. So, pretty big game.
Yeah, for sure. I still think there is enough teams that can – I wouldn't be stunned if whoever won this didn't go undefeated the rest of the way. That's why I would just say control, because I think Basic and Foothill are probably the two best, you would say, right now, but I don't think Green Valley is that far behind, and I don't even think Coronado is that far behind. Like, I would not be absolutely stunned if one of the two got upset.
I think Coronado is in a second tier now in the league.
Well, they're definitely in another tier, but at the same time, it's not like, okay, we're probably going to say they're the four in the Southeast. They're not. It's not as shocking if they would have beat the one in the Southeast than it is look at the four in, like, the Northwest. Is it like Durango or Shadow Ridge? There's no way ever they're beating a one
okay.
over there.
You're right. You're right to that point. Basics already beat Green Valley. If they beat Foothill, they would just have to beat Coronado, and they'd, in my opinion, have an easy road to the state semis.
Yeah, so Basic getting us set up a little better is they only have one game left. Foothill would still have Coronado and Green Valley if they won.
Yeah.
So a little bit more work to do. You talk about this rivalry in, like, big terms. I think in the last 2 years, it's come down to a field goal both years. Foothill's won both of them, but it just shows how close these two teams are.
Yeah, and if you take a look at Foothill's schedule this year, I think they enter on a 5 or 6 game winning streak. They lost ugly week one, And they've won rather convincingly ever since, but they've beat El Dorado, Durango, Shadow Ridge, right? So we're talking Shadow and Durango haven't won a game. El Dorado's won two.
Canyon Springs down
as well. So really, who has Foothill played? Is Foothill real like Ray Brewer said, or are they a middle-of-the-road team, maybe like a team who's got a few losses under their belt if they were playing a tougher schedule?
When did you – I feel like you jumped on my Foothill bandwagon a little bit. You keep saying like Ray Brewer said.
You've been on the bandwagon?
I was on the bandwagon from the beginning. I remember you mocking me for saying they were going to win the division.
I might have done that. But
you
I picked them to beat Desert Hills, though.
That is true. You did pick them to beat Desert Hills. Yeah. I'm surprised you stayed on the bandwagon. Hey, I'm not saying there's not room for you.
Yeah.
I just feel
like
you
when picking
did
them
you jump-
to beat Basic?
We'll get to the picks, but I will just say this. I know who you're picking.
Nobody respects the Wolfpack.
I was somewhat surprised. This is when I was thinking, well, you kind of, I think you kind of jumped on my bandwagon, and now you're trying to throw me out of the driver's seat and into the back.
That's how I roll.
This is the battle for Boulder Highway, obviously.
Yes.
So does the winner just own all of Boulder Highway for the year? How's that work? And what would you want the most on Boulder Highway?
What would I want? Boulder Highway is kind of a dog pit. As somebody who grew up there, I mean, at least the Henderson part of Boulder Highway, you could walk without getting stabbed. God. Right? Seriously. Over where I grew up where Eastside Cannery is now, used to be Nevada Palace. You missed out. You never got to go in Nevada Palace, did you?
No.
Well,
no, I never even heard of it.
Well, Tua's dad could tell you that it was the armpit of armpits, but it just had this warmth to it, and the food there was phenomenal. And I love Nevada Palace.
I want that donut place if I was battling for Boulder Highway.
Donut place?
Yeah, like Friendly Donut House.
Where's
Friendly's?
That?
The Henderson part of Boulder Highway, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know
unless
that.
Unless I'm crazy.
Well, when I was a kid, we all went to Skyline a lot. They'd have like an 88-cent breakfast. I still think the food is good at Skyline to this day, but you'd have to get two plates of food. But you wouldn't want to order them at the same time because they would just throw the food all on one plate. And then it still kind of felt like one meal. You'd eat your food, you'd be halfway done, and you'd ask the woman to bring you more. Old school.
So you get all of Boulder Highway. The donut place is next to the Buffalo Pizza place you like.
Oh, Johnny
Max?
Right next door. I love Johnny Max.
That's Boulder Highway, right? Or am I going crazy?
That is Boulder Highway.
Okay, yeah,
but
the donut
me,
place.
For me, Johnny Max, which is phenomenal, is more of a Basic place. Even though they've got like Boulder City, Foothill,
okay.
Basic gear there, it's kind of closer to Basic. It feels more old Henderson.
Next time you go there, drop into the donut.
Yeah,
shop
I'm getting
next
hungry
door.
Talking about this.
Those are the two places I would want for the Battle of Boulder Highway. So that's one huge game. We'll get to the picks later. That's on Thursday night. On Friday, the attention as far as the upper level locally shifts to Legacy Palo Verde. Maybe not for the one in a division where Gorman is, because I think Gorman has that on lock. But I really do think this is probably for a home playoff game. And both teams have struggled this year overall. I think they both come in with losing records, but one of them is going to feel much better about themselves after Friday. How can each team make sure it's them, Brewer?
You know, I really think Legacy has found something with the Tiger Gleason. Gleason?
Geeson.
Geeson?
Tiger Geeson, I'm pretty
Tiger
sure.
Geeson. He's, he had the big game, if you remember, in week one against Centennial. And
Geeslin. I didn't have the name in front of me.
And last week he put up triple digits on Gorman, which says something about it right there. I think if Legacy sticks to the ground, they could do enough to get through Palo. But Palo, you know, of course they've beaten Durango and Shadow, two winless teams. So it's easy to put up some points. But Palo's kind of gotten back on track a little bit as well. Going to be a real close game. If Palo could get some points on the board, I think defensively they might be able to stop the run to pull off the victory. But I don't want to give my pick away, but I think Legacy's tailback might put it out ahead.
Yeah, Palo, though, has had been banged up at tailback all year. They're a little healthier now. They got all their guys, Chisholm, Wiley, a few others I'm forgetting about. So I think there's a reason for optimism for Palo, too. And to me, one thing that's hard to overlook is this is still legacy at Palo. This is like Palo Verde, like one of the best programs in Nevada. You still got legacy who has some good years, some bad years. Does the history matter to you at all?
History always matters for me. I remember, was it 2009 when Legacy beat...
2009.
Legacy beat Palo 7-0, and it was just a back-and-forth affair, and Darwin Ross, the legend, was extremely...
sour?
After the game, that's to put it nicely. And I was like, Coach, what do you guys need to work on? And he was like, weight room. I was like, oh... what do you think went wrong today? Weight room! So clearly, Legacy had out-muscled Palo that day. Going to be a great game. Looking forward to it, actually. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I don't want to give my picks away.
Yeah, so Legacy, Palo Verde.
But I think we might be on opposite sides of this.
Finally, since I think you may have ruined our chance to be on opposite sides of the other one.
Okay. All right. Dang. Nobody respects the Wolfpack. All right.
Hey, you don't have to tease ahead. Hey, you exercised mind control 2 or 3 weeks ago to get me to jump to Green Valley. What's to say you can't do it now again in the next little bit?
I'm just saying, Aninas McAllister, tank.
I have not done my homework on the next game we wanted to touch on, so I'm going to rely on you to give me an overview of this. Gorman, number one in the nation, looking like they could stay number one in the nation if they beat Don Bosco. I obviously know Don Bosco is one of the best traditional programs in the country. They're always great from New Jersey. They're coming out to the West Coast, though. Do they have a shot in this game? How good is this team this year?
Well, first of all, any team coming from multiple time zones to play in Vegas – I think is it going to be at a disadvantage. We saw it with Hawaii coming to play Liberty. A team coming from the East to play here. Granted, the weather is going to be nice, so they don't have to worry about the heat this late in the year. And Bergen Catholic came and beat Gorman a few years ago. But Don Bosco, no relation to John, 4-2 this year. They've already lost twice. So probably not the power that they're used to. Also, I think the question is, Gorman, the way it does its national schedule, right? It's Chandler, Bingham, Bellevue, Servite. It's, right, big dog after big dog after big dog. And now all of a sudden they've gone Durango, Shadow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you got to get back into – Bosco, right? So your dogs, your A's, your ones, they haven't been playing full games, right? So how's Gorman going to go from big dog, big dog, big dog to local team back to big dog in terms of A, stamina with its ones, and two, just the level of competition? Are they going to be able to switch it back on right like that and play again? You know, because Martell and Lindsay, it's been like playing backyard football the last few weeks, right? Slinging around, you got the Nerf, you go on the sidelines, you got a hot dog, you wave at the girl you're taking to the homecoming dance, you go back on the field, you sling it around, you come back, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So how do you do it when you got to turn it up a little?
Yeah, that'll be what's interesting to see. I will say a lot of times I think that a little bit too much gets played into the travel, but not in this case. When it's New Jersey to Las Vegas – especially that east to west, there's a real interesting, I know this was on high school football, but if you remember a couple of years ago, it was like some Ivy League school did a big study on football teams traveling multiple time zones, and the biggest difference was made east to west, just with like the circadian clock rhythms. So that always is a red flag to me. And number two, it just looks like Gorman is the better team to begin with. Like you said, Don Bosco, two losses. Interestingly enough, though, they've won every game against out-of-state opponents. Their two losses are to New Jersey teams by a total of 13 points, so they've at least all been close.
Yeah, and I think, and I'd asked a question to you in the newsroom. I think I answered it myself, but Gorman, which is the defending mythical national champs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ranked number one by USA Today, correct?
Yes.
Are they the national champs? Have they done enough if they win this game? Because I think they were hoping that Bosco would be unbeaten, so they would be unbeaten. You know what I'm saying? It would enhance their resume.
Right.
This is like BCS system all over.
Except it's not really a BCS system. At least in the BCS, you've got some kind of finality. Like, the best teams played. I think the important thing to remember is that when you always
say... they're going to play Liberty, brah.
Yeah. When you always say these rankings, this is why you always say Mythical in front of them, because we'll never really know. I know it's probably just logistically not something they could do or whatever, but has there ever been any thought of getting, like, some of these big programs... I was trying to look up some rankings. Sorry if you heard the background noise. I wanted to see if Gorman looks like they're number one in just about everything, not just USA Today. Max Preps has them number one, too. Is there ever a chance for some of these programs to play each other at the end of the year?
I mean, they do that little 8-team whatever, but the NIAA didn't approve for Gorman to go.
Oh, okay, see, I didn't know about
it. Yeah, they'd set it up. But to me... you have the finality of winning state. Why would you want to go do anything else? It's just the nature of the beast with football.
I don't know if I agree with that. Everyone at Gorman knows they're winning state. I think the national championship means more to them at this point.
All right. I mean,
they really wouldn't want to play after last year they beat someone by 70 points.
I mean, I think it's just over. Gorman wouldn't have anything to win by it.
Well, if they're not going to be the national champion, if it comes down to you're going to be in the top five but not national champions, or you can go play for a national championship, what do you think? They have a lot to win by it.
I mean, the way the system is set up now, though, they don't need to play. If USA Today was like, okay, our number one team's going to be the winner of this showdown, then they would find a way to get there, right?
That's what I'm saying. Why couldn't we have a game like that? That would be interesting.
Yeah, but I think you got to talk to the NIAA. It's impractical. And okay. So, anyways.
I don't know as much about their opponents, but I would think they're still in line to win the national championship if they win this game, to answer your question.
Long Beach Poly's 5-2 right now. Servite's 3-4.
Oof.
But Chandler, who they beat in the opening week, is 7-1 in the top 20. Bingham is 8-1, and I think both those teams could win state. Bellevue, which Gorman put up 35 against, has won its next five games and has only given up 27 in those five games. So that
against mostly in Washington, though, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Because they pretty much in Washington do the same thing Gorman does in Nevada. I think that supports the notion that after these first four national games, I think the one that impressed me the most was Chandler on opening night, having no signs of being rusty or whatever, just going out and winning by 21 points against a team that at the time was in the top 10 and looks like they've lived up to it since then. That's their biggest win to me, probably the best they've played all year.
Yeah, and I think the fact that on back-to-back weeks they went on the road, they beat a team in Utah and Seattle. Not easy to do. I mean, that's big league stuff. And you got to remember, they went to Utah 6 days after because the Chandler game was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, so, I don't know if the people voting or however they figure this out, if they're going to take a deep dive into the schedule.
That was actually their closest game in Bingham. And they still won by 18.
Yeah,
so
unacceptable.
If they get knocked off that number one perch, I don't see how you could possibly... I don't see how you could knock them off if they take care of business against Bosco and beat them handily. I was having flashbacks to an ex-Gorman game while I watched the Florida LSU game on Saturday night with Trayon Harris. Because Gorman played him a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Booker T. Washington.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Florida's defense has been real good this year as well. I mean, despite the 35 against LSU.
Yeah, and the 35, though, I mean, the last touchdown was on a fake punt. They were very good. I don't think that... I mean, they're going against Leonard Fournette, but this isn't college football. This is high school football. We got one more game we had to talk about before we get to the picks.
Well, and we got to, let's just talk about the Division 1A.
Well, yeah, I figured it would all be part of it. But Moapa Valley and Chaparral will play for the number one seed in their region, kind of. It is for the actual number one seed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are
on paper.
The number one seed.
On paper, yeah. So last week, Case, the NIAA rules that Desert Pines, using an ineligible player for two games, the Moapa win September 11th, the Shap win September 18th, and they took those wins away, so it makes both Shap and Moapa undefeated. They play this week for the Sunrise title, the number one seed in the playoffs. Desert Pines, who... we all agree is the leader in the clubhouse to win the state championship is going to fall to the number three seed if they beat Sunrise Mountain, who, congrats to them, they're going to be in the playoffs for the first time. And now DP is going to have to go to Cheyenne in the opener, and Cheyenne has given up 7 points in the last 4 weeks, including three shutouts. If they win that game, they've got to go to Moapa Valley again. They thought they escaped Overton for the last time. They were thrilled. Overton's probably not happy that they got to play DP. And then after they, if they win in Overton, then they got to go to Reno. All of a sudden, that's in play now for the state semis. And then they would get Faith for the championship game. So an easy road in the playoffs now turned into at Overton, at Reno, and Faith at home, because of what we learned this week was a pretty good misunderstanding. Player transferred in from Legacy. They have the paperwork with an approval stamp that the kid was eligible. Turns out the approval, though, is that the kid was only eligible to transfer, not that he was academically cleared. The player had less than a 2.0 in the spring, made up two classes in the summer to get above a 2.0, but the rules dictate you could only make up one class and not two to get academically eligible. They got the paperwork. They thought it was good to go on the approval stamp. Honest mistake by adults, both at DP and I think at the NIAA. And now DP, a team, CK, who's had a ton of not tragedy, that's a bad word, but what's a good word for it?
Adversity.
Adversity. God, you're so bright. Your vocabulary is off the charts. So their adversity, right? They lost to Moapa by three. They were up by three touchdowns in the state game last year. Lost to Moapa, right? Lose Patazzi to the ACL. Kid still hasn't played. Supposed to go to a doctor this week, but still he's not in shape, right? Then you lose Smith, right? Then you have the emotion of the Arbor win, and now the forfeits. So I'll ask, I've talked to myself a lot. Let me ask you this. Is DP still the leader in the clubhouse to win state? Is it still their championship trophy to win?
I still think you have to make them the favorite based on what's happened on the field, but I just think all this is unfortunate. I mean, like you said, this wasn't anyone trying to game the system or trying to do anything wrong. It just was a giant misunderstanding, and it kind of frustrates me that then all that being said and it being pretty clear-cut what happened, that they're still forced to forfeit games when all it does in the end is harm the kids that earned this right to be there. Not only does it harm Desert Pines, but it harms other programs too, like Moapa Valley, who's right behind, if not equal chance to win the state championship. They're very close. And now they're going to have to play them in the second round. They do get to play them at home, but I don't. It's just unfortunate. I just wish that we could go more based on what happened on the field than one. It's not like Desert Pines was trying to cheat. They made a mistake.
Yeah, it wasn't like Tico bringing in a 19-year-old kid and saying, you know, go play. And the player, you know, against Moapa Valley, he played about half of the offensive snaps. Against Shap, they won 62-13. They could have beat him with me playing center. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's just unfortunate. It's the word that keeps coming to mind. I just wish there could have been something else done. I guess they just went by the book on this and the punishment. You don't always have to, I feel like maybe you shouldn't have gone by the book, and you could have made it a better outcome for everyone involved.
So a lot of teams affected. Cheyenne, who has been great, and they're hot, but now they've got to host DP in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They're the biggest victims of this.
Yeah, and initially, if it would have stayed the same, they would have been at DP in the second round. Winner goes to the state semis. Instead, they have to host in the first round. Shap now is in a little bit of a better spot. They get to host the playoff game, and they're going to get Mojave. Unless they beat Moapa, they'll get Mojave in the first round of the playoffs.
But Mojave's already beaten them 25-0.
At their place. Mojave's got to be kissing the ground, because instead of having to go to Moapa Valley in the first round of the playoffs, they get to go to Shap, and if they win the game, they get to go to Faith, which I don't know how good that is, because after Faith lost in the first week to Yuma Catholic of Yuma, Arizona, they've been world beaters, but we don't really know how good they are, because aside from Cheyenne, when Cheyenne wasn't as good as they are now, they really haven't played anybody.
I think the Cheyenne win was awfully impressive, winning by 18. I guess this actually works out well for Faith, because they're going to be big favorites in their first two playoff games no matter what now.
Yeah, oh yeah, and Faith is like, well, great, now all of a sudden we're getting a charter bus because we're doing something in the playoffs, because Faith now gets Sunrise. Again, shout out to Sunrise, first playoff appearance. And then they get the winner of Shap Mojave, right?
Yeah.
They pray more than most schools,
yeah,
even though DP prays a lot.
This is all fluid. It all depends on outcomes, because DP and Sunrise play this week, correct? And Shap,
and Moapa Valley. And
so there could be upset. I mean,
we could
technically
assume.
There could be upsets, but we're kind of assuming that Moapa and DP wins, because they'll both be big, big favorites.
Big, big favorites. We talked in the newsroom, and we both know the answer to this question, but if you're Moapa Valley, do you lose on purpose at home to Shap to get easier cross to bear? And if you're DP, do you say, well, screw it, we'll lose to Sunrise to get an easier cross to bear?
Well, number one, it's high school football, and there's only so few games you ever get to play if you're a kid, and it's something that's so important and you're going to treasure. So I never advocate throwing a game and losing on purpose. But in this specific instance, I would love it if that actually happened. You are sacrificing an extra home game, but...
Or is there some unwritten rule? Would that kill the spirit of the NIAA or whatever?
Yeah, I don't think you can do it, but I think it's a very interesting discussion point. The number one reason, too, while not from only a moral standpoint, why I say I would never throw it, but from also a practical one, once we talked this through and I started thinking about it, is like, I don't know how much, like, Moapa wants to win the state championship. They're going to have to get through Desert Pines and Faith Lutheran, too. They're going to have to get through both of them no matter what. And I'm just not sure. I think we could be underestimating Faith Lutheran a little bit. I mean, I don't think they deserve to be as high as Desert Pines and Moapa Valley in the rankings, but this is a team that hasn't lost in state. They were state champions 2 years ago. We know they have a great coaching staff, a great
program.
Three-time
Sunset champions.
Yeah, so I'm not... If you're Moapa, let's say just hypothetically that they decide to lose this game, if they lost this game on purpose, they would be sacrificing a home game with Desert Pines for a road game against Faith Lutheran. I'm not sure that's like the greatest switch ever.
Yeah, and I guess you could go to the fact that Moapa had, what, 7 turnovers when they played Desert Pines the first time? Or was it 8 turnovers?
It was 8, if I remember.
The Cox kid had like 6 interceptions.
And now he's slinging it well. I mean, he's playing lesser competition, but still, the passing game seems to have gotten better.
And he's getting a little more confident. Remember, he was a first-time starter. That was the third game of the year. You take away just one or two of those turnovers, it was a 6-point game until there was like 2 minutes to go and Grayson broke a long one. Maybe the gap between Moapa and DP is not as significant as we thought. And as you know, Kiefer, it is like virtually impossible to win in Overton. I don't know if it's the referees, if it's the water, if it's the travel, if it's the fact that the whole city appears to be at the game. Whatever it is, Moapa has got some kind of home edge when they play at home.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's fair. And I think
and they do, correct me if I'm wrong, they do have the best player in the league.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. And RJ Hubert.
Right?
I would think so. Okay. Definitely the best weapon, without a doubt.
And as we learned on September 11th, they're going to find ways to get the kid the ball. I mean, he scored on a trick play, on the kickoff. They hurled it back to him. Speaking of Desert Pines and kicking, their kicker is this Natron Naki Haki Arula La Naki.
I doubt that's his name, but okay.
It's Natron Naki, but he's got a middle name.
Okay.
Arula, whatever it is, Polynesian.
Okay.
He's like 300 pounds.
Right.
He was like 6'6" on PATs. And he really puts a good boot to it.
Does he play?
He's a center.
Okay,
he plays
center. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's fun to see. Anyways, right. Fun little week.
That's like my guy at Foothill that I talk about every week, like a linebacker, yeah. Defensive end, and kicker. Short guy, but big.
Yes.
And he boots it.
Girthy.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. So Desert Pines like we said, plays Sunrise Mountain this week. Just an interesting scenario. Just to clarify, we're not advocating anyone losing on purpose, but it's kind of an interesting situation now.
This is Nevada. It's the Wild West.
Because of what happened, it brings about an interesting discussion. Do we want to get to the picks?
Yeah. Let me ask you this real fast before we get there. Do you think Desert Pines, who you haven't seen play this year, would beat Liberty?
Didn't we talk about this last week?
Oh, we did?
Absolutely not.
Okay, go ahead. Go to the picks.
Like I said, it's a clear one, Gorman. It's a clear two, Liberty. A clear three, Desert Pines. And then fill in everyone else behind
there. A clear four,
there.
Centennial.
You're making me laugh.
Let's go,
that's
baby!
Hilarious.
I'm a Bulldog.
The clear four that has barely beaten Legacy and Palo Verde.
Legacy, they were a little... Dude...
Two teams with losing records. They had to, like, eke out victories by the skin of their teeth.
Arbery lost by 34 points to a Division II school.
What'd they do against Legacy again?
Bruh, it's not how you start the season. It's how you finish it. Okay, Centennial had a...
Yeah, Arborview's getting better every week. Centennial still was playing close games and got destroyed by Liberty.
They're prepared to be in a close game. They have Greg Rogers.
Who just last week you were telling me it's not that big of a deal to have just one great defensive lineman.
Well,
after the week before, you were telling me it was that big of a deal. Now are you back on the other side?
I don't know where I'm at. I'm just telling you, I'm picking Centennial right now.
I'm picking Centennial this week, too.
I might go over there and buy me a Centennial shirt.
All right.
Baby blue. Don Bosco at Gorman. Who you got, CK? Give me your knowledge.
I've got to go Gorman here. I love this Gorman defense. I feel like they've performed really well in the national games, especially the front seven.
That was my phone. My phone rang. It wasn't my fingers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love what the Gorman defense did in these national games. It was just so much better than I expected. They didn't give up many points. They didn't allow opponents to get into their offense, so I think the Gorman defense is going to be the key again here. Maybe even if the offense has an off day, I still think they can win, and I think they're going to win by double digits.
I, too, like the Gorman defense, and I, too, think Gorman's going to win by double digits. However, asterisk, I'm concerned that Gorman, who's played Shadow, Durango, and Legacy, and won by a combined score of, I think, 230-something to 21, right?
Yeah.
Might take a while to get the engine revved up. And if they fall behind, crazier things have happened. We haven't seen them rally. Martell hasn't been brilliant in these out-of-state games this year.
He had a big game last week, though.
Again.
Biggest game of the year.
Again. Well put. Again, touchdown, hot dog, homecoming. They haven't had much the last 3 weeks. I got Gorman to win, but if we're sitting here next week and we're like, oh boy, Bosco came in and pulled off the shocker for Tita Field, would I be surprised? It's tough to, you know.
I would be surprised. I don't.
You ever gone? You got on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Right. You go on a cruise.
I've also been to New Jersey, so I know if you're going from New Jersey to Las Vegas, you're going to be pretty excited.
You've been on. You're employed, right? You have a job. You've been on vacation. You come back from vacation. Day one, are you Case Kiefer, the machine behind the keyboard, punching out stories? Or you still got that fog from the vacation?
I don't have that fog. Definitely not.
Okay.
I feel like I'm most productive on the first day back.
Okay, well, Gorman has kind of been on a vacation the last 3 weeks.
I don't think they've been on a vacation. They're playing this offense and defense every day at practice to take on, like, one of the best units in the nation. And I know Kenny Sanchez isn't just running some slap butt practices over there.
No,
they're competing every day.
They're
against teams better than they're going to play. The Gorman defense and offense is probably better than the Bosco defense and offense, and I guarantee you that the first strings are playing against each other in practice.
All right. Case Kiefer, Gorman defender.
I just think – no, I think you –
Gorman homer!
I think to
– your screen now?
I think to an extent you agree with me too. I just think you're trying to make reasons not to like Gorman.
I haven't seen
any way this year that I could go against
Listen,
Gorman.
There's not been – you're right. There's not been one iota of evidence that Bishop Gorman is going to lose this game. Bishop Gorman, who everybody thought was going to miss a step with Tony Sanchez going to UNLV. You remember this?
Including Ray Brewer.
Including everybody. Great offensive mind, a great motivator out, and replace him with anybody.
Didn't I give you like under 30 Chandler points the first week? That's how you started digging your hole in the $5 bets. Chandler scored 14.
You're right. Chandler's best player got hurt, but it doesn't matter. A kid who ate Gorman up 2 years prior.
We need to find a total to bet this week, because I've just been cleaning up on those.
Listen, I have very low expectations for Don Bosco. Nonetheless, next game, battle for Boulder Highway.
Friendly Donuts, Johnny Max Pizza.
Johnny Max. Your basic Wolves, my basic Wolves, at my Foothill Falcons. Two teams I've been high on back and forth. You go first. You want me to go first?
This game's going to be so close. I really think that this matchup's pretty even, right? I don't see where either team has a huge advantage.
I tell you where Basic has a huge advantage, and I'm not trying to sell you into taking Basic.
I think
Basic.
I know what you're going to say, and I think I'm going to agree.
The fact that Basic's actually played a team that could score.
Oh, no, that's not what I was thinking.
Right? That Basic has played Arborview. Basic has played in a big game against Green Valley, right? And Foothill has just played nobody. Talking about being on a cruise and not having any responsibility.
They played Desert Hills.
Desert Hills was that kicked the crap out of them. But Shadow Ridge, Durango, El Dorado, Canyon Springs.
Silverado's been pretty decent. Devion Clayton's a beast. He didn't do that. He didn't have a huge.
He's a beast, but against Foothill, I think you were at the game. He had some problems figuring out how to catch the ball when it came in his direction.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't.
Is that accurate?
Their passing game wasn't on point then, but I think that we can't. I just don't think you can downgrade them totally.
Bro,
but
when
I
you
agree
see what Liberty
point.
Does to Silverado this week.
Victory Bell, or is that what it's called?
Victory Bell. With that said, Silverado did beat Palo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who should have beaten Centennial, your fourth best team in town. Clear fourth best team in town.
Okay, well, you're right. And Arborview lost to Desert Pines by 34.
Yeah, the clear number three team in town.
Okay.
And they've gotten much better since
then. And Kenyon Oblad had 10 touchdown passes in 8 minutes against Valley. Or whatever it is.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. But I tell you the running clock story in the newsroom?
That it starts at 8 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we never didn't know that. The running clock starts at 8 minutes. There's not going to be any running clock in this game. If you're asking me where Basic has the advantage from seeing both these teams, is I think Basic is better defensively. I would take Foothill's offense, no question. I think they're more explosive.
Really?
Definitely.
Oh, okay.
From seeing both teams, if you're asking me right now, I'd say Foothill has the better offense. Basic has a better defense, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I think I like Foothill's quarterback, but the McAllister kid has won playoff games. Right?
Yeah, but it's more than one person. I there's no way you will dissuade me from this. I mean, Justice Jackson.
He's good. Bro, he's good.
Devin Mueller. They got a bunch of receivers they can throw to. I just feel like Basic might even be the more physical offense. They might be line up, push you around, get 4 or 5 yards, and then hopefully McAllister breaks a long play or two. But McAllister has also really struggled throwing the ball.
He was awful against Green Valley.
So I just think maybe Basic has a physicality edge on offense, but I just think overall I like what Foothill's offense can do. That being said, Basic's defense, when they bear down, is pretty tough.
I'm going to take Foothill 32-26. I think the fact that the game's at Foothill, that there's going to be – because they got like 100 kids in the band and they each bring a few people, so there'll be a lot of people. It'll be noisy. Give me the Falcons all day. I'm taking Foothill 32-26.
I think it's a three-point game, third year in a row. It's so close that I really just want to line up on the other side, but
you gotta make.
I feel like that would be going against my integrity. I think Foothill's winning this game.
All right,
I've thought it all year.
Nobody respects Basic. Cahill's going to yell at us.
I'm going with Foothill.
All right, next game
Thursday night on Basic Foothill.
Yeah. Next game, Legacy at Palo. I think I kind of hinted at this earlier. I like the Longhorns. I'm taking Legacy.
This is tough for me because I haven't seen Legacy.
Neither have I, but they almost beat the fourth best team in Southern Nevada.
That's pretty much all we're going off of, is that they almost
beat. And they got a Division I defensive lineman, and from all intents and purposes, a running back who's putting up a hundo against the number one ranked team in the nation.
Yeah, Geislin has been very good.
Very above great.
But they are 2-5, right?
They are 2-5.
They lost to
Arborview. Moapa. Good team. Top 10 team. Just, who are their losses?
This just drives me crazy. Who are their losses? You're telling me Centennial's the clear four within a 6-day span, 7-day span. Centennial gets lucky to beat Legacy, and Arborview goes in there and just destroys Legacy. Just, I don't understand how you can get clear number four when you look at those two results.
First game of the year, Case, anything happens. You've watched the NFL before, right?
This is just their most. You're just trying the most.
And Legacy, are you going to knock Legacy for going to Overton and losing to RJ Hubert?
No, I was mainly bringing this up that I can't believe you actually think there's a clear number four in town. Right. This doesn't have anything to do with Legacy. I think this is going to be a close game.
Paolo Legacy?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, hell yeah, I agree with you on that.
I'm pretty torn on who to pick. I was just looking back at Legacy's schedule, and it just made me shake my head. Looking at the differential between the two games of team, one
yeah,
team
is
clearly better than the other. All right, they also lost to Coronado, who neither of us are high on.
That is troublesome. You're right.
I just feel like there's a Palo's losses were all super close. I mean, they barely lost to Basic.
Barely lost to Centennial.
The clear fourth best team in town.
Barely beat Coronado.
Barely lost to Silverado. I don't know. I think there are less red flags on Palo Verde's schedule. I think Palo Verde's getting better. I think they're going to break out in one of these games against good teams, and it sure as heck isn't going to be against Bishop Gorman. So I think it's going to be this week in Legacy. I'm going to say Palo Verde wins this game.
All right. We agree to disagree.
Finally. It's been 2 weeks since we had a game we disagreed on.
Well, the next two games, D.O. at Centennial and Arbor at
You're just setting yourself up for ridiculous. You're telling me how great Centennial is, and you have them winning by 16 against Desert Oasis, who gave up 50 to Basic.
Basic was extremely hot that day. The Fighting Talaches are good, bro.
They are good, but
they're better than they were when they lost to Basic.
The clear fourth best team in town.
What am I going to rip Talich and say they're going to lose 52-16?
No, Desert Oasis is one of the best stories in town.
I know, it's Desert Oasis.
It's great, but if they're playing the clear number four team in town, they should lose by more than 16.
I call it like I see it. Centennial is going to beat Arbor next week, just like they're going to beat some D.O. this week.
I think I'm covering the Centennial Arborview game. You just have me so fired up, I'm going to have to like go wearing all red.
You better get there on time because that thing's going to be packed.
Yeah, hopefully.
No, it will be. It will be.
I can't believe how high you are on Centennial. I just don't see it from having seen the team. I just don't see it, but I do think they get by this week against Desert Oasis, and I think they're going to win by more than 16, too.
Okay. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to egg me into a $5 bet. I know your tricks.
I actually wasn't, but I'll take whatever points you want me to lay with Centennial, who is one of the best teams in town.
The Fighting Talaches.
Yeah, I don't mean to
control the clock.
I don't mean to take away from Centennial. Obviously, they're a very good team.
They shouldn't feel slighted at all.
They have a ton of talent, but they're not the clear number four team in town. That's just crazy.
Who is Basic?
No, there is no clear number four. Okay. That's what I'm saying. There's a clear top three, and then you can get the rest and shake them up in a hat and see who comes up first. Although the biggest piece of paper most likely to come up at four is going to be called Arborview.
There. Arborview that is extremely slow.
They aren't that slow.
They were slow against DP.
Yeah, and our boy, or my guy, Curtis Jones, uh-huh. I guess his name, right? He's dealing with an injury. Don't know if he'll be back for the Centennial game. Got an update on him last week. Now I forget exactly what it was, but something pretty bad injury. They're still trying to get back for the Centennial game. So I think if you have any argument, it's that maybe. Well, but then again, Centennial's missing its best runner too, with Ramondre Stevenson.
They are.
So
they
it could even out. I think it's going to be a great game. I would not pick against Arborview at home in that game next week.
You won't. All right.
Centennial this week. Arborview at Cimarron Memorial. Cimarron just got run over by Desert Oasis last week. And I don't think it's going to be any better this week against Arborview.
I agree with you. thankfully for Simmer on this, season's close to being over.
Listen to that. Ray Brewer picking Arborview. The sky is falling.
Arborview, baby. All right, my Cowboys taking the long bus ride, baby.
Did you ever think we would be talking about Chaparral potentially winning a region in football? Because I honestly probably never thought that would happen.
Well, last year, if you remember, there could have been a three-way tie where Shap could have got involved in this last game. All I know is that when I talked to the kids at the beginning of the year, I told them to be great. And look at it. They got a chance. They're 1-1 away from being great with a little help from the NIAA.
So is it all on you, or giving yourself the credit for this season?
No. But Chaparral does have a few players who Moapa Valley should have on their radar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Acosta.
Acosta, Nelson, Hernandez.
Makes sense to me. I just can't see it. I have to go Moapa Valley here, even though...
Yeah, of course.
You're going Moapa, even against your alma mater?
Yeah, well, I was born late, but not yesterday, buddy. Okay. Right?
Durango at Shadow Ridge. This is interesting.
Give the scenario about this game, Case.
Two winless teams.
0-14 combined.
I think, 0-14, 0-15, something like that.
0-a-lot combined.
The winner gets to go to the playoffs, where they will face, if you believe Ray Brewer, Centennial.
No. Gorman, right? Or
I thought they were in Gorman's league.
Are they in Gorman's league? Oh, yeah, because Gorman's played them, right?
I thought so.
Yeah, so they play Centennial, right?
I love how we're just saying they play Centennial. Sure, they play Centennial.
No!
They play. this really is for the four seed, though, and it's pretty interesting because these teams have been have equally struggled this year. So who you got? What do you think this comes down to?
I think that Shadow's got the best player on the field, and whenever in doubt, use the best player on the field comment.
Dominic Wilson.
Amen. Give me the Mustangs.
I'm going to line up on the other side. I think Durango has shown some promise this year.
They have been better. I agree with you.
Yeah, they've been a little bit better. They've come closer. I think like a year ago, I just would have mocked myself for even picking Durango here, but I'm going to go with the Trailblazers. Why not? Roll the dice one time. So Durango for me. Liberty at Silverado, the Victory Bell game. I can remember when this was like such a big deal and everyone was always fired up about this game. This year it just seems like Liberty is in a much better spot.
I would agree with you. I think Liberty, who put a canna on Valley last week, right?
Yeah, they scored 60 in the first quarter, you told me?
No, I would think it was 63 or...
In the first quarter?
No, bleeding into the second quarter. But yeah, they did real well, put it that way.
All right, so we are both on the same side of that one. Vegas at Valley. Vegas is won a bunch in a row now. They're kind of rolling.
You were at their game last week.
Saw them for the second straight game. I got to tell you, we were so high on now I don't have his name in front of me, but we were so high on Hicks going into the season. They got another running back who's just as good.
I told you, yeah. I can't remember the kid's name either, but...
We'll get it eventually. I'll look it up. But I think Vegas, it won't be as bad as Liberty last week, but Vegas is going to roll in this game.
All right, I can't disagree with you on that.
Sunrise Mountain at Desert Pines. I'm probably saying this wrong, but Daquan Brown for Vegas, that's the kid we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly averaging better yards per carry than Hicks this season. He's very explosive, but watch out for him. Sunrise Mountain, the DP. I'm going DP.
I'm going DP, too. Shout out to Andrew Gray.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get till now. Andrew Gray, linebacker and running back, the Sun Wingstop Player of the Week. Going to get a $50 gift card to Wingstop, a nice certificate, and a meeting with Ray Brewer. Only two more Sun Standout Player of the Weeks to go, so let us know if you have someone. We're both on Desert Pines this week behind Andrew Gray. Coronado at El Dorado.
Cougars back on track.
Yeah, this is probably for the four spot. Speaking of games for the four spot, it's probably for the playoffs, right?
Well, there's... an extra week in the Sunrise, and we think Coronado will be competitive against Foothill.
Yes, but I got to agree. I think Coronado slides in there at the four by winning this game. Spring Valley at Faith Lutheran. After thinking about it, I'm really high on Faith Lutheran now and think we're being a little too short on them in the D1A. I think they could really make some noise in the playoffs, and I honestly wouldn't even be stunned if they were the last team standing. I think they're not as good. I think I still would have Moapa and DP ahead of them, but I think they're going to continue to impress us this week and beat up on Spring Valley.
Win or lose, the Crusaders, the number one seed in the playoffs. Win or lose, the Crusaders are a huge, huge, huge favorite to make the state semifinals. And the Christian Marshall kid, I don't think we talk about him enough, Case. He's a junior, and every week he does. Between him and Brendan Joyce, they're just putting up five touchdowns a week. And the Joyce kid, 2 weeks ago, he was like 11 of 12. This week, I think he was like 10 of 13 passing. Slinging it around the yard, bud.
Yeah.
I tell you what, they might pass the ball better than any team in that division.
Yeah, they're scary right now, and I think that it's going to be a while till they lose to a local opponent. Not going to be this week. I'm going Faith Lutheran. Speaking of games with, I guess, the opposite of playoff implications, neither Boulder City nor Virgin Valley can get into the playoffs, but I'm sure there's a lot of pride on the line in this game. Being at Virgin Valley, I think you got to lean the Bulldogs.
And it's homecoming. I'll lean the Bulldogs as well.
All right. Rancho at Del Sol. Good year for Rancho. It's been a little bit rougher for Del Sol.
Good year. They broke the streak. It's a great year. It's like the Cannon game with UNLV football. You win the Cannon. Who cares about the rest of the year, right?
Well, you cared 2 weeks ago. You're calling for a bowl game.
I know. Now look at me.
All right, what, off topic, I think that Rancho is going to finish on a high, too. Great year for them. I'm excited to see things turning around at Rancho, and I think they get one more victory to show for it.
I agree.
Okay. Pahrump Valley at Sierra Vista. This closed the season last year, too, and this was like had so much going on with how the playoffs played out, right? I think Pahrump Valley upset Sierra Vista at home. This year it's at Sierra Vista, who broke their own losing streak last week
on TV, baby,
upsetting Spring Valley
on TV. Great win for
TV, so good for
the Lions. Yeah.
What do you got?
I'm taking Sierra Vista. I'll be 100% honest with you. I got no clue on this one.
Yeah, if it was at, I can't believe you've brainwashed me. But if it was at Pahrump, I think you maybe would have to look differently.
Which, by the way, I think Pahrump's won one time at home this year.
Well, I'm still going Sierra Vista. I can't go opposite with you on this one. Mojave at Western. Western is the new owner of the longest losing streak in town, and I don't see it ending anything here. Mojave's going to get that playoff game, and who knows, maybe make noise in the playoffs.
If Mojave asks for anything else for Christmas, let's remind them of the gift they've already received. Right?
Correct.
Is that rude?
No, that's
100%
fine.
Accurate.
Shouldn't we wait and see if Moapa or DP throws the game this week?
Well, they're not going to do that.
That was a joke. Cheyenne at Clark.
Cheyenne.
Mojave beat up on Clark last week.
Oh, man.
Cheyenne did not get a Christmas present.
I got a typo right here. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's why I was a little bit confused.
Okay. You see the typo? Cheyenne had. Should be has.
Oh, no. I saw the typo two games above it, but that's all right.
Sierra Vista closes on a two game. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's another typo. Jesus.
We got it. We're all good. Cheyenne, both of us, right?
Yeah, we got Cheyenne.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, that'll do it for this week on Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week, thanks to Wingstop and the Nevada Department of Public Safety.